Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. This coming Tuesday, of course, is known as Veterans Day, though our message today has not that subject. We are thankful for the men and women who have served in the armed forces. Last night, I was rewatching a video that I've seen before on D-Day. Amazing amount of men that were thrown into a situation. And probably interesting is that probably men on both sides were praying to the same God and asking for deliverance and safety. And we think of the 6,000 vessels that took Americans and Canadians and British and those from free Europe to the shores of France and to land them there against amazing odds. And we think how the Lord's hand was in that. And we just thank those men that were willing to do that and the women that were nurses that went along. And we thank the men and women who have served down through the years. World War I, I don't think we have any veterans from World War I. World War II, and of course, Korea and Vietnam and the others that have come after that. But if you served your country in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, would you stand for us at this time? Would you stand? I would like to be able to say that we have a check for $10,000 for each one of you. We could give you a check for $10,000, but let's give them a hand. Thank you, and you may be seated. We do appreciate the fact that you were willing to do this. Some of you did it by volunteering. Others were drafted, and you had to go, but thank you for going. But if you would, let us stand. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Luke 18 and verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, how shall I, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this country in which we live. Lord, we thank you for the men and women who have served this country in the ministry and are now serving this country in the services of our country. And Lord, we just pray also for those men and women who are in the Lord's army, for those men and women who are pastors and pastors' wives, missionaries, missionaries' wives. Lord, be with them. Protect them, bless their ministries. And Lord, we think of Brother Mel and Kelly Sharp, Lord, that you would give them faith and encouragement and even a special blessing today. And Lord, we also think of the ministries of the Rochester Hills Baptist Church and the First Baptist Church of Canton, Lord, asking that you would direct the right man to that job and that, Lord, your will would be done in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 22 says, "Yet lackest thou one thing." The word yet, meaning however. Let me add one last thought. The title of our sermon, One Thing Lacking. But let me make this clear right from the beginning. Jesus is all you need. He is our unspeakable gift. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is equal to all our needs, from the ruler of the synagogue down to the infant in the arms of their mother. And blessed is the mother and father that wants their child to be nurtured in the Word of God. And as we saw in last week's message, the contrast between the faith of a child and this very young ruler who went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now you ponder that. Matthew 19:21 says, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What would great possessions be in AD 33? Okay? May I say this? He had no hot water heater. Aren't you glad for your hot water heater? He had no refrigerator. Aren't you glad for your refrigerator? I tell you what, he had no microwave oven. What would you do about popcorn if you didn't have microwave ovens? He had no toaster. Oh man, I love to cut an onion bagel in half, slice it in half, put it each in the, you know, in the toaster, get it nice and warm, pop it up and put some Swiss cheese on it. Oh, now that's heaven. That's good. But he had no toaster. He had no cars. You know, when I was growing up, the average family had a car. Today, the average driver has a car. They had no air conditioning. Now, why would we be talking about air conditioning today? Some of you are cold in here right now. Yes. There was no flat screen TV. There were no phones, no computers, and yet he had great possessions. Do you think we have even more today? We have so much more. I have 7 points and a conclusion. Point number one, we find it an important question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? There is no more important question one could ask in, Lord, what can I do to make sure I'm saved? What can I do to make sure I'm saved? Dr. Smith says it is gratifying to see a person while basking in the sunshine of worldly prosperity, anxiously inquiring into the eternal sureties of the unseen. May I say this? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you prepared? You know, there are many people today who are seeking assurance and seeking answers. Let me name a couple of people. People I'm sure you know. Tom Monahan, owner of Domino's Pizza. Listen to him talk. When he is being interviewed and asked why he does what he does, he is constantly concerned about his eternal soul. The only problem is he's going around along the wrong way. How about Mitch Albom? Most all of you have heard of Mitch Albom. Listen to Mitch Albom talk. Here is a man who is searching for answers. Michael Landon. You know him as Little Joe. Or the father of that girl on Little House on the Prairie. Here was a man that was trying to do his best, even having TV programs that had religious values to them, seeking and searching for that question, what must I do to be saved? May I say this, our earthly riches should not blind us to the greater glory of heaven. Having the right priorities in life is important. This young ruler has come to the right person to ask this question, what shall I do? Which brings us to number two, a searching inquiry. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. I believe Jesus is asking the rich young ruler, do you believe I'm God? Was Jesus God? Yes, Jesus is God. A third of the Trinity. He is God and he has come to earth to save souls. And he's asking that man, do you believe I'm God? You've called for God because he's good. Do you believe I'm God? Dr. Smith writes again, when we come to Jesus about the matter of eternal life, we must come with full purpose of heart, believing that he is divine, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Believest thou this? That Jesus is the way into heaven? Brings us to number three. Some of you are all excited. He's already to the third point. He's got 7 points and a conclusion. Hey, the long ones are coming, folks. To know and to do are two different matters. How many of you have been told by your doctor? No, don't raise your hand, please. Let me rephrase that question. I have been told by my doctor that I should lose weight. I'm not, none of you need to. See, I know what I should do. No amens. But I know what I should do, but I don't always do it. And don't bring this up against me. She's my greatest supporter. Thank you. But to know to do something and to do it is two different things. Notice verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. How many of you believe that you know what the Lord wants? Would you raise your hand? You believe you know what the Lord wants? Yes. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to do it, right? Notice what Jesus says. Verse 20. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus is not talking here privately to this man. He's talking to him plus everyone that is around them. Do not commit adultery. We are to live morally. One of the biggest problems in America today is we have an immoral society. And we don't think it's wrong. Do not kill. We are to respect life. Do not steal. Don't take what is not yours. Yes, I remember when I was in kindergarten, there was a young boy who brought in a horse and a rider, a cowboy. And I thought, wow, that looks neat. And somehow when I got home that day, I had the horse and the cowboy. And I remember my mother saying to me, where did the horse and the cowboy come from? And I said, well, some boy at school gave it to me. Uh-oh, I have done what and what now? I've stolen and I've lied. Boy, that's not a good thing. But I was just in kindergarten, folks, okay? Of course, you know, they say what? You crime, you start young, it gets worse. But my parents made me take the horse and the cowboy back the next day. And I did. You know, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? You see something and you say, I want that. Notice he says, do not bear false witness. We're not to lie. Aren't you glad the commercials are over for the election? Have you ever heard so many lies in your life? Man. Honor thy father and thy mother. We're to admire and regard authority. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? How many people don't regard authority? How many commandments are there? 10 commandments. How many did Jesus name to this man? 5. He named 5. This have I done from my youth. Jesus did not name the first 4, which are the relationship of a man to God. He didn't name those 4, and he didn't name the 10th. And the 10th one is, thou shalt not covet. To covet is to lust after, to envy another's possessions, or to parietize your possessions too highly. Which brings us to point number four, an honest confession. The young ruler's response was that he had kept these five commandments from his youth. The easiest of the five, or excuse me, of the ten, are those five. And even that, those are hard. The young ruler's response was that he had kept these five from his youth, and in his mind he believed he was fine. He believed he was okay. He really thought he was about to inherit eternal life because he had done these five. It's like people today who think they can work their way to heaven. They pick and choose what they can do. But see, Jesus knew his heart just as he knows your heart. He knows your need. He knows what needs to be done in your life. Brings us to point number five. What lack I? See, in Matthew's narrative, we find that once responding, all these things have I kept from my youth up, the young ruler asks one more question, what lack I yet? Did he really know that there were things that he still should be doing? May I say this, be careful when you ask the Lord to reveal your inner condition. David was bold to ask this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This story is recorded in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it has these words. It's only found in Mark's narrative. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Aren't you glad that the Lord loves you even if you're a sinner? While we were yet sinners, Christ did what for us? He died for us. Aren't you glad he was willing to die for you? We could not save ourselves. Do you remember the story of Noah and his time and the whole earth had corrupted itself? And God said, I wish I had never made man. And he was going to destroy mankind. What would have happened if he had destroyed mankind at that point in time? We would not be here, but everyone before the flood would have gone where? To hell. Adam and Eve would have gone to hell. Enoch would have gone to hell. Methuselah would have gone to hell. Why? Because Jesus had to die for them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of that, man continued and Jesus would be born. Jesus did not want to hurt this man. He only wanted what was best. Which leads us to point number six, a testing command. Yet lackest thou one thing. I'm sure that the rich ruler was not expecting Jesus to say, yet lackest thou one thing. What? Well, what possibly could I be lacking? I fulfilled those commandments you mentioned. I've been blessed with great possessions, and only those who are godly are blessed with great possessions. Well, that's what he thought. And that's what the disciples thought when they asked the question, who then can be saved if this one who has been blessed with so much can't be saved? But notice what Jesus says in verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Let me say this. Jesus said, sell, give, treasures in heaven, and follow me. It is not our fault we live in 2014 America. Now, I am bothered that we have heard about these stores that are going to be opened on Thanksgiving. I don't understand why anybody would want to go shopping on Thanksgiving. I don't understand that, but that's me, okay? It's like people wanting to go shopping at 3 o'clock in the morning. I understand Kmart is going to be open for 42 straight hours. Kelly, is that right? Are you going to be working there all those 42 hours? Which Kmart do you work at? Don't go there, folks, because Kelly wants to go home and go to bed. But why are they open all those times? Why is Macy's going to be open on Thanksgiving? Why are these stores going to be open? Because they're playing to what? To the greed of Americans. Now, I don't believe that everything that people are going to buy on Black Friday is for gifts. It's for who? Yeah, boy, that's a good deal. I want that. But it's not our fault that we've been blessed with money. Is it wrong to have money? Man, I hope not, because in my wallet, Don, I've got more money today than I've had in a long time. First, I have $10 that I have to return to you because David bought the pizza. Okay? But I have my own $10 bill and two ones. I got 12 bucks in my wallet, and I'm glad that money isn't wrong. I've got a credit card. The other day, a person told me, they said that they had bought a number of things on Visa because they wanted the points, which, that's smart. And so they had bought $4,400 worth of stuff, and the Visa bill said they only had to send in $44. Do you know there's a lot of Americans who owe a lot of money? They say that the average American owes to visas and that type of thing over $10,000. Now, considering my wife and I pay ours off every time, that means somebody owes a whole lot more than $10,000. And if I were to ask you how many of you pay your Visa off every time, probably the majority of you would raise your hand, which means that a lot of people owe a whole lot more than $10,000 on their Visa, right? That means they have bought a lot of stuff that they knew they couldn't pay for. Because we live in a world that has a lot of stuff to buy. What point am I on? I'm on 6. There is no way I'm going to get done. The Bible clearly says that money is not evil. But what is evil? The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Folks, we need to have the right priorities when it comes to money and things and the church of the Lord and your salvation. They need to be in the right priority. We need to make sure that man's work doesn't conflict with God's work. See, I like Chick-fil-A's theory is I'm closed on Sunday. I wish we'd have some Chick-fil-A's move into this area. I like Hobby Lobby. They're not open on Sundays. See, I believe this, that when you honor God, he will bless you. He will bless you and he'll take care of you. So, Pastor Paul, what do you think our Lord would have done if the young ruler had been willing to sell all and give to the poor? I'm glad you asked. Let's begin reading at verse 29. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I believe God blesses us when we are willing to honor him with our money. I believe that God will bless us when we are willing to honor him with our lives and with our time and with our effort, with our desires. We need to turn our lives over to the Lord. And you say, Pastor Paul, what are you going to do about point number 7 and the conclusion? Nothing. Would you please stand up? We're going to have our invitation time. Are you right with the Lord? With your money and with your time and with your soul and with your heart? I believe the best thing we can do is to give ourselves to the Lord. We're going to sing a song, 390, entitled, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Only you know if your heart is right with God. That is not my, my choice as to what you do. You have to make that choice. I'm obviously concerned that we have the right priorities. But is thy heart right with God? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. And may the Holy Spirit move, prick hearts and consciences. May we live our lives properly, Lord, serving you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.